is in understanding this place. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Casta govanta the roster gabina zopa. Let me know where you are there. Ali roster gabina mana katil sto govanta tizente roster. So, can the Bible be wrong? Part what? Part four. Can the Bible be wrong? Part four. Okay. Oh. So let's do this together again today. Are you ready? Can the Bible be wrong? Part four. Hebrews 1 verse 1. God. Well, yes, let's read that version. Everybody wants to go, yes? Sundry times and in diverse manner. Time pass. By the prophet. Verse 2. As in these last days, spoken to us by his son, whom he has appointed, heir of all things. Also, okay, please, if you are, first write this down. Write this down. Well, they were, like, you know, we studied this a bit yesterday too. Write this down. This is how it ought to be constructed. In many portions and at different times. In many portions and at different times, each of which form a part of the truth. In many portions and at different times, each of which form a part of the truth, the prophet spoke unto the fathers. But in these last days, God has spoken to us in his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. So, Sister Joy, what I was trying to say is that I am not saying Moses is receiving from God. I said Moses received. Received doesn't mean receiving. When we say you receive from God, it simply means you understood the what? Intention of God. Intention. Okay, follow me. So, of course, being the brightness of his glory and the exact representation of his person. Being the brightness, let me read everything from verse 1, the way I just reconstructed it here. In many portions and at different times, each of which form a part of the truth, the prophet spoke unto the fathers. But in these last days, God has spoken to us in his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, being the brightness of his glory and exact representation of his person. So, because the way the book of Hebrews was written, it is argumentative. It is compare and contrast. Are you with me? Don't worry, you will enjoy today, seriously. It will shed light on several things that we have been talking about, and it will give you more things for you to ruminate over through the weekend that you will be here too. So the writer was actually comparing the accuracy of what the prophet said with what the son said. In verse 1 to 3, he's not only telling you that, that what the son said is all the prophets were trying to say. Of course, that is true. All the son said was all the prophets were trying. Are you with me? What the son said was all the prophets were what? Trying to say. But much more, the writer is also comparing the, that's why I use the word diverse manner, sundry times diverse manner. He was comparing the what? Accuracy. See accuracy. So he was comparing the accuracy of what this one said and what this one said. What God said in his son and how the prophet spoke for God. So, it is not God that was speaking in diverse manner. It's not God that is speaking different things. God was saying one thing. The same thing that God said in his son is what the prophets were trying to say. So, 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 16. So, because the son is the message of the prophets, what the son was saying, which is about himself, was the message, is the message of the prophets. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitness of his majesty. Right? For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mountain. Where was that? Rush to, that should be Matthew 17, right? Be fast. Mountain of Transfiguration. So Matthew 17, verse 6. One to go. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Verse 6, one to go. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were so afraid. Good. Go, rush back to 2 Peter 1 now. So that was what he was talking about. Please don't forget, in this church, we are trying to carry everybody along. So that's why I don't assume anybody knew anything. We go back and read it for the sake of everybody. Are you with me? Praise God. Good. So back to 2 Peter 1:19. So let's read 19 slowly together. One to go. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place unto the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. Now, so don't forget what he was saying before. Please, everybody, pay attention. He was saying before in verse 17 that what? He heard a voice in the holy mountain. They all heard a voice that this is the Son of God in whom I am well pleased. Do you remember when I was saying, I didn't know which series, is it our salvation? It should be our Jesus. When I'm saying that Jesus that saved is not the Jesus that you receive in a vision, but the Jesus that is what spoken of in the scripture. Now, is he saying, am I saying visions are wrong? No. Am I saying visions are not it? No. But that is why 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, 2, 3, 4 said what? How he died for our sins according to scriptures. So there you must be careful. That is why when Jesus rose from the dead, he didn't just come and he was sharing realm to them. He took them through the scriptures. Luke 24, Acts chapter 1. Are you with me, brethren? So now, he said so Peter 4 said, okay, we heard a voice saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Verse 19, now say, we have also a what? More sure. That word more sure, write this down. More sure. It's a Greek word, B-E-B-E. B-A-I-O-S. B-E-B-A-I-O-S. B-E-B-A-I-O-S. It means a stable, a firm, a trustworthy. Trusty, something you can trust. So, he's not saying the vision is wrong. No, the vision is correct. But he said, he didn't say, What started verse 19? We have what? Also. Say we have also. So is that contradict that word? Is that contradicting the vision they saw? Say, but we have what? Also. So the Jesus from the scripture confirmed the Jesus of the what? Of the vision. The scripture confirmed the vision of Matthew chapter 17. Please, are you with me? The scriptures, it confirmed the vision in Matthew what? 17. Do you understand that? What confirmed what? Is it the vision that confirmed the scripture? But what? The scripture confirmed the vision of Matthew 17. See, scriptures confirms prophecy, not otherwise. Now, so we have a more sure word of prophecy. Where is Juliet? I wish she's here. A more sure word of prophecy. Now, please, the word of prophecy. Prophecy here is propheticos. Just write prophet, then tikos. T-I-K-O-S. Prophet, then tikos. Write this one down, please. You need it. Like, please, write it. Everybody write it down. Propheticos. That is what prophecy here. It means proceeding from a prophet. It means prophetic. See where it's being used? That is Romans 16, verse 26. Come on. Romans 16, 26. Propheticos. Romans 16, 26. Want to go? Let's read, yes. But now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandments of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. So it refers to, write this down, it refers to the entire Old Testament script. The entire Old Testament script. Prophet, so no prophecy of the scripture. No, sorry, I don't jump myself. We have also a more sure word of what? Prophecy. So that more sure word of prophecy is talking about the entire material. Propheticus. The entire material. Are you with me? The entire material. So he's saying now that you take it until to the entire material until you receive illumination. Take it to the entire book until you receive what? Illumination. What illumination? Salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Take it to the entire material, to the word of the prophecy, to everything until you receive what? Illumination. What is illumination? Salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Are you with me, brethren? Are you with me? So, verse 20 now. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Please write this one down. The word prophecy here now is another Greek word, prophetia. Abi, is it here? Prophet, then E-I-A. Write prophet, then write E-I-A. Now, please, this one, write the meaning. It means prediction. It means prophesying, I-N-G. Prophesying, prediction. Like a discussion that emanated from a divine inspiration. Are you with me? Rajesh, are you writing something? Utterances of the prophets. That's another word there. Utterances. Utterances of the prophets. So, Stagira, what do you think would be the difference between prophetia and propheticus? Grammar and graphe. So one talks about what? The ing, the what is being said, the words, the exact words. But the other one talks about the entire material. So good. He said, no prophesying of the scripture is of any private. The word private, of course, that is I-D-I-O-S. We just need to analyze all this one grammatically. That is the only way out here. I-D-I-O-S. It means pertaining to oneself, belonging to you. It's not anything that belongs to you. No prophesying. Now, it's not talking about the entire book. Oh. No prophesying. So, when we are talking about prophesying, that would be many people, right? Not one person. Many people. No prophesying of the scripture. How do you put it? Verse 20. How do you put it? No prophecy of the scripture, right, is of any private. It doesn't belong to oneself. Private words. He said interpretation. Write this one down. Interpretation is a Greek word. E-P-I. L-U-S-I-S. E-P-I-L-U-S-I-S. E-P-I-L-U-S-I-S. Interpretation. It means explanation. Application. Unloosing. That's interpretation there. E-P-I-L-U-S-I-S. Epilusis, right? Epilusis. Epilusis, yeah, I'm right. So, if you bring everything together, so verse 20 is saying, write this down, everybody, the different portions of the Old Testament, the different utterances of the Old Testament cannot be interpreted disjointedly. The different utterances, the different discussions, the different grammar, the different prophetia, right? Huh? The different prophetia in the propheticus, right? Cannot be interpreted individually, disjointedly. Why? Why? Because they didn't come by the will of the different prophets. That is verse 21 now. Because the different prophetia, the different grammars did not come by the individual will of the prophets. So verse 21 now. Are you following me? Brennan, are you following me? 21. For the prophecy came. Now, 20 is saying everything that they said cannot be taken without another. Cannot be approached differently. You have to approach everything together. Why? Because the scripture had one intelligent speaker somewhere. Hallelujah. Because there is somebody at the back of the scene. That is 21 now. Who is that somebody? For the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man. Will there, write this down, will, Greek word telema, T-E-T-H-E-L-E-F-A. By the inclination, by the choice, by the desire, by the pleasure. For the prophecy came not in the old time by the inclination, by the choice of man. By the desire of man. Of course, prophecy, yes, is the prophecy, yeah, right? If it, prophecy in 21, you see prophecy. So the different grammar, they didn't come in the old time by the what? Will, by the inclination of man. But only, of course, only is agios, right? Separate men of God, right? Only men of God spake as they were, of course, as they were there, is italicized, moved. This is where we are, we must focus upon now. Moved by the what? By the Holy Ghost. So now, hold on, who is the intelligent speaker right now? Holy Ghost, right? But what is the link between the Holy Ghost and the speakers of the prophetia? Moved. So the word move, that is, I mean, bear, like that is, as they were moved, yes? That is a Greek word, P-H-E-R-O. P-H-E-R-O. P, Pharaoh. P-H-E-R-O. Stagira, are you okay? It means to bear along, to carry along. It also means to endure, to be conveyed. So we can say the prophecy came, holy men of God speak as they were endured by the Holy Ghost. As they were. Now, that means moved, not spoken to. There's the reason for that word moved. Are you with me? Are you with me? Just like if we have a strong tornado here right now, and maybe the tornado blew plenty money into the atmosphere, or a strong wind. So you have to enter into the tornado and be picking the money. You know, it will not, it's not like, it will not, you may not even likely receive everything. Are you with me? You may not be able to pick everything. You just be able to, So there is a moving. Why the moving? Number one, because the prophets too are not perfect. But the Spirit will not stop. The Spirit will do his best to ensure they get it. The Spirit will do his best to ensure they get it. Now, in Revelation, for Revelation, the Spirit, this is just a simple thing, simple way, because we are New Testament speakers, okay? So, for Revelation, the Spirit of God must be in you. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eyes has not seen. Okay, I recap. I said, the Spirit will not stop, but the Spirit will not stop. The Spirit will do his best to ensure they get it. So the Spirit will do his own best to ensure they get it. But he will, there is no constant fixed link between the Spirit and the prophet. It's a moving. Now, we get it, we understand clearer soon. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9, but as it is written, what? Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. 20, verse 10, 1, 2, go. But God hath revealed them unto us by his... Sabuki, why are you not yet there? 10, again, 1, 2, go. But God has revealed them to us. What did God do to the Old Testament prophets? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 17. Inspire, right? But what is God doing to us by His Spirit? Yes? Revealing, right? Are they different? Of course, they are different. So, for the Spirit searcheth all things, hear the deep things of God. Verse 11, 1 to go. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the Spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of... Verse 12, now we have received, not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man wisdom speaketh, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with... Hello, brethren. We speak it, right? Not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Comparing what? Spiritual things with spiritual. 14, but natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. 15, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. 16, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Just write this one down somewhere in your book. The full fulfillment of that scripture is the epistles. Just write that down. I think I and Stagera we discussed this some days ago. The full fulfillment of those portions is actually the epistles. So the prophets were inspired. They utter out secret things. But in Revelation, you know what you are saying. What happens in Revelation? You understand what you are saying. The prophets were inspired. Now, there is a place where it looks like, where it was... it looks like the prophet too, they receive revelation. But see 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's see it together. 1 Peter 1 verse 10. In Revelation, you know what you are saying. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Clarity of Zamba Testogavar and the day. 1 Peter 1 verse 10. 1 to go. Of which salvation the prophet have inquired and searched out diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. 11, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when he testified before, say beforehand, say in advance. Good. The suffering of Christ and the glory that should follow. Now, 12, carefully, want to go. Unto whom it was revealed. Wow. So, that's where I'm going. So now it looks like what they something was revealed to them, right? Huh? Because the same Greek word apokalypto was used there. But pay attention. Look at what he said after. Want to go? That not unto, but unto. So the revelation they got, was it for them? Could they comprehend? No. Yes. Did they minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven? Oh, you to read the latter part. Yes. Which things the angels desire to look into. Hallelujah. So the angels will see the things of God through who? Through a revealer. Right? Through a speaker. Through man. Simple. So, what revelation is mainly for us? That we add a bit clearer light in some portions in the Old Testament does not mean for us to call what they add what? Revelation. Revelation is for us. Inspiration is for them. Because they understood less, far less of what they said. But we have the advantage of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we can understand all that is inspired to them. We can understand what? All that is, that was inspired to them. Now, I just, before I continue, I wrote one question here. Just one minute question to you. In what ways are believers still inspired today? Believers today. In what way are we inspired today? Huh? Talk now. Yeah. By scriptures. Inspired. Prophecies. That is what spiritual gift, right? Spiritual gift. Are you with me? I just asked that. Believers, can we still be inspired today? What's the answer? Yes. But how? Prophecies, right? Word of K, word of W, which you speak out by prophecies. But that does not put it in the category of what? The inspiration of the scripture. Okay, good. Now, go to John 1. John 1. Sapis, why are you streaming me to my page or Divine Assembly? My what? Good. Yesterday you used Divine Assembly. Don't say no. Yes. Good. John 1:45. Don't check again. You can't. It's too late to stop. Wherever you did it. Even if it's your own work. John 1:45. Okay, you missed something, right? Want to go? Let's read. Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him, we have found him of whom who? Moses in the law and the prophet did write. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Who what? Moses in the law and the prophets did write. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of who? Joseph. Now, don't forget. Sundry times. That is Greek word what? Remember? Sundry times. Polumeros. Okay, if I've not written it yesterday, write it down. Don't worry, if you are missing somewhere, I will make up for it very soon. Polumeros. From two words, polus. P-O-L-U-S. Polumeros, that's the full word. That's P-O-L-U-M-E-R-O. Now, it's from two words. Please write this one down. Number one, the first word is P-O-L-U-S. Then P-O-L-O-S. It's a compound word. So it means plenteous. Plenteous. Saw. Many. It's so many. Saw. S-O-R-E. plenteous. No, it's so many that it's annoying. Something like that. Then the latter word, meros. M-E-R-O-S. Juliet should be here. I don't know why she's not here. I'll be good. Juliet. Meros. M-E-R-O-S. It means parts. Peace. Part or peace. That word Meros was using, that should be Acts chapter. Just give you one example. Acts 5 verse 2. Say, and kept part of the price of his wife. His wife also knowing about it and brought a certain part. Part. That is Ananias and Zacharias, right? Acts 5 verse 2. Certain part. Polu Meros. That is Meros that I'm explaining. A part. So, like certain parts. God who had sundry times. So, what is sundry time means? And what does polymeros mean? You know the way, when you see sundry times, you think it's talking about different times. That's not what he's saying. What is he saying now? In different parts. In different pieces. Bit by bit. Plenteous pieces. Then, the other word, which is diverse manner. Because that first one means the piece of a whole. Piece of a whole. Polymeros, everything, you can call it the piece of a whole. Then the other word, diverse manner. Polutropos. Polu, P-O-L-U-T-R-O-P-O-S. The same word, polu is still the same word for the first one. But tropos means conversation, manners. So, of course, it means in many conversation. Manners in many plenteous conversation. So plenty conversation. So those diversity will be a function of the speakers. Of number one, the speaker, the audience, and the age. The speaker, the audience, and the ages. E.g., Noah will use too much rain to typify judgment. Do you know why? Why do you think Noah used rain to typify judgment? Because rain has not fallen before. There was no rain before. Rejoice. Before in the first 2,000 years that the earth was created, there was no rain. Yes, the ground, the plants, everything was self-sustaining. According to, I think, what is written in Genesis, it says, a mist come out of the ground and water the whole face of the ground. So, before, we don't usually have rainfall. It was no, so don't put that on Facebook. It was Noah that first brought rainfall. So why did Noah use rain that has not happened before? Because he is trying to picture the judgment of man. That would mean the judgment of man will be nothing that man knew before. That's why I'm saying that all these physical deaths, one killed this, that we are seeing is far from the actual punishment for sin that God said in Genesis 2:16. Are you with me, brethren? Are you with me? You don't get tired right now. You flow. So, to tell you that the judgment of unbelief will be unlike anything that known to man. That's how I put this in my notes. That the judgment of unbelief will be unlike anything known to man. Now, I now said something. I said to further understand the accuracy of these things, we must understand how the prophet received from God. That's where we are going now. We must understand how the prophets receive from God. How did God speak to the prophet? Now, I know that Moses said that, well, if there's any prophet among you, I speak to him by dreams and visions, but Moses, I speak to him what, face to face. So, it's very... dreams, vision, but Moses face to face. You know, but if you now, and some people will also say that, an angel spoke to the prophets, and the prophets spoke out to the people. But now, a book that is one of the most redemptive books in the Old Testament, which is the book of Isaiah, I checked the book. You know, if you compare Isaiah and Ezekiel, you just read it. Ezekiel, too much angels, right? Yeah? to angel this, angel that, and just see visions, times, Paul, Jerusalem, on beast. But see Isaiah. See the difference. Now, this book of Isaiah had angels mentioned just twice. That should be Isaiah 37:36, which was talking about, which was saying, which is simply historical, talking about the king of Assyria. Isaiah, open, don't get tired. You are writing, you are open. For his mercies endure forever. Amen. Put this on silence now. Abba, respect church. For his mercies endure forever. Amen. For his mercies endure forever. Amen. For his mercies endure forever. Amen. Are you ready? Okay, Isaiah 37:36. Then the angel of the Lord went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyria and 100 and... That is a sad story. Actually, that's not an angel of God. That cannot be an angel of God. Sorry, leave that one for another day. But the next time you see an angel will be Isaiah 63 verse 9. Which was also historical. 63 verse 9. In all their affliction, he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. So, who is that talking about? That was talking about Israel, right? When they left Egypt. So, the two times angels were used in the book of Isaiah, it was purely historical. Isaiah never said an angel told him anything. So, not that God usually sent angels to prophets to speak things plainly to them. But rather, now I want to answer second assignment right now. Rather, a prophet will speak for God, or rather, a prophet will discern God in his speaking. I should come back. Not that God sent angels or prophets to speak things plainly to them. Or not that God is always sending angels every day. Go and tell Isaiah, tell him to write down Isaiah 53. Tell him to answer, to write down, comfort Isaiah 40, comfort my people, speak comfortably to Jerusalem, and tell him to write their warfare. It's not that God was sending them every day like that. So, but rather a prophet will discern God's word in his speaking. It is an utterance gift. A prophet says with his mouth something not in his heart. A prophet will say with his mouth something that is not in his heart. Something not in his mind. If you have not written anything, please write this one. God interfaces with his knowledge as he speaks. Everybody, I give you time to make up. God interfaces with his knowledge as he what? As he speaks. Okay, if you are done, just be speaking in tongues. Let's wait for some people. Speaking in tongues. Just 2 minutes. Break. Kaliron takolis take vidan to zambala mazampala mas take dide. Rotekelo zampala kanro zatala magizandera. Kato zatile rozama la kasta gampala mazantile zambilan kantile zotite. O laro sopala ketelemo zatira rostegentite o sento a yepola ke rostegapalande cosenta la astegampante o yento la stegevili rostegepilande so gambala shanta da. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Can lero stegampante so gantina continua stegampilando zante. Clarity is ours today in the name of Jesus. Understanding is ours today In the name of Jana Kentola Kezo Pile Masha Bina Stoga Vila Nande Gezo Vandade Ora Sova Tekempola Stegempilantos Tegevintas Tegevintas Ayempo Babola Balabala Tetati Colande Geros Tegavanta Koza Bindos O Shabola Kora Stegempola Cantida Sto Antidande. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay, are we all in face? Okay, good. So where did I stop? God interfaces with his knowledge as he speaks. Utterance gift. There's a reason they classify prophecy as utterance gift. So, now, therefore, most times, the content of his act will get mixed up in what he is trying to say. Okay, let me even tell you this. Even if a prophet saw a dream, saw a vision, is it in the dream and in the vision that is being written down? As he's seeing vision, is it that as the vision is coming to him, it will just be automatically? So that would mean, even if you receive, so if you saw a vision, what will he do? As he is speaking about the vision, more things will come. So the vision of the prophet is not his prophecy. The dream of the prophet is not the prophecy. It's what the prophet is saying. And don't forget, we are still going to this. All those prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, is not most of the time there is somebody always beside them called a scribe. We are going to enter into the who are those scribes very soon. I mean, maybe in part 5 or part 6 of this study. There is somebody always beside those prophets called scribes. So, as the man is not speaking, what he would describe you doing? Writing. Are you with me? As the prophet is speaking, the man is writing. So the scribe is not there in his dream to write down as he's dreaming, like the scribe does not have his own copy of the dream of the man of God. So it's what the man of God is saying. Are you with me, brethren? So in their speaking, a lot will go wrong because the content of their mindset will get mixed up with what they are trying to say. Yet, the truth of God will still be there. Hallelujah. Praise God. At times, they will want to speak about the destruction of the king of Babylon. But in their speaking, what will happen? The Holy Ghost bearing them along. They will interface with what? With the fall of Satan. At times, they just want to speak about Pharaoh. But in their speaking, they will discern the judgment of Satan. See our trans gift. Say speaking. So, not that God gave Isaiah a written script like that. No. It is the prophet searching out the intention of God in their speaking. I put it in this way again. A prophet gets to receive from God as he speaks. Jesus. Of course, now, not that God gave Isaiah a written script like that. It's the prophet searching out the intention of God in their speaking. And I said, a prophet gets to receive from God as he speaks. I'm just emphasizing the same thing, don't worry. But the writers of the epistles, they spoke by understanding. They wrote by understanding. Why a prophet gets to receive from God as he speaks, the writers of the epistles spoke by what? Understanding. See understanding. See understanding. Not by inspiration. So again, pay attention. Pay close attention. Prophecy is different from just a divinely received word. Now I want to make another demarcation right now. Prophecy is different from just divinely received words. Not everything the prophet said are prophecy. Now, I've explained prophecy now. Now, we are categorizing prophecy. Not everything, No, I mean, I've talked about how prophets receive from God. Now, not everything prophets said are prophecy. E.g., all the laws of Moses are not prophecy. E.g., the Ten Commandments, they are not prophecy. But although, are they divinely received? Ten Commandments, are they divinely received? You have just become... Am I dictating to you? It's not dictation. You're not even listening again. Hallelujah. Anyway, it's a good attitude. It's the attitude of ministers. Thanks a lot for doing that. I appreciate it. So, the Ten Commandments were divinely received from an angel, but not prophecy. Also, not all foretelling. Not all foretelling are prophecy. See, we are redemptive beings. So, redemption defines all our terminology. That is why when we are talking about inspiration, we don't refer to ourselves. Why? We are redemptive beings. Redemption defines all our terminology. That is why I told some people that you cannot, the word tithe to us, it has a meaning. Are you with me? Tithe in the church to a Christian, to a Bible scholar. Tithe is not just 10%. Do you understand? A Bible scholar that hears the word tithe is 10% of particular farm produce to be given to particular people at a particular time of the year. We are Bible scholars. We are not English. This is not English class. So when a man that understands that he has tithe, you are saying that there is a priest that ought to offer sacrifice for our sin. Meaning you are saying that the sacrifice of Jesus is still not sufficient. Tithe means there is still sin. Means we have people who are still there to service sin. So you pay to them. That is why no writer of the epistle uses the word tithe. Well, who are the Levitical? What is the Levitical priesthood? People that are there to deal with sin. The same way we don't call, you know, in my old CSU, we shall call the house of the pastor. They say the house of Levi. You know, that's how we call it there in CSU. Say the pastor's house, like you are a Levite, I'm a Levite, you are not Levite. We say, yeah, I want more Levi. So, to say pastors are more Levi means you are taking care of sin. You know, I also told you, in the Old Testament, do you know, priests and prophets, they are clearly different. A prophet cannot just take over the role of a priest. You can't. That priesthood, that one is distinct. You take care of sin as prescribed by those people. Or else. It's not just what you do anyhow. So that is why, even if you want saints to, and some people will now, they will see, they say yes, but they're still tithing under grace. Are you okay? Who gave you grace? The people who gave you the grace, they didn't use the word. You are, let me not use strong word. And you are so dull enough to be using the same word. Which grace do you know that Paul did not know? Paul said, give. You are saying, there's tithing under grace. Do you know why I call it? Those are people employing the words, devourer the terror of the Old Testament to make the saints do the right thing. Because also, not paying tithe attracts a consequence. You don't give tithe, you pay tithe. Hallelujah. I said others to say we are redemptive beings. So, dictionary does not define salvation to us. Same way, to us, tithe is not just 10%. Therefore, in the New Testament church, we avoid that word totally. In fact, as a pastor, I am sensible enough, even if you want to say as a church, okay, we have a need that we want to, and we want to decide to bring a particular percentage of our income every month so that we can cater for that need.
The pastor, the New Testament pastor, must be sensible enough not to make that percentage 10%. I can better say 9.5. I can say 10.5. But 10, so that it doesn't form a image of curse in your head. Because not everybody is in the same level of understanding. And it's not every time we want to collect it that will be explained again like this. So I would better say, okay, everybody will be giving 11% of our salary. It's better than 10%. Everything you do in church, you are teaching. Praise God. All that is an interlude. Let's go back to what you are doing. Today, not today, oh. Amen, amen. Where am I? Okay. So, I said not all foretelling are prophecy. Foretelling, yes. Like, same thing I told you last time. I said, not all exploits of power are exploits of faith. Remember? I said, it's not all the exploits of power that are exploits of faith. Something can be exploit of power. Power open the ground open. People enter. They are not all exploits of faith. Revelation 19 verse 10. See that place that brother Akeem was quoting the other time. So, not all utterances of what is to come are prophecies. We are redemptive people. Funny enough, you can do this. Go to Google, search the word righteousness. See Google's definition of righteousness. They come to the Bible. Funny enough, Google's or dictionary definition of righteousness is actually self-righteousness. Go and check it. I've did it myself. The way dictionary will define it is they will say a man that is just. But in Christianity, what is righteousness? A man that is justified of God. Are they different? Yes. Good. So, Revelation 19 verse 10. So I said, e.g., I wrote in my book here, I said, e.g., the word of Nathan that the son of David will die. Is it about a future event? Huh? But is it prophecy? No. Why? Revelation 19 verse 10. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see that thou doest it not. I am thy fellow servant and thy brethren that have the testimony of God. Read the latter part together. Want to go? Worship God for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. See, that has the testimony of Jesus. Say, worship God for the testimony of Jesus is the what? Spirit of prophecy. Okay. Are we in the same page now? So, why must we call it a prophecy? Sapis? It must testify about who? About Jesus. In testifying about Jesus, what are we going to speak about? E.g., somebody give me, let's talk about five things now. Five things. Sufferings of Christ, yes. Glory that we follow, yes. New creation, yes. Something else. The point of the Spirit, yes. Glory of the Saint, yes. More. Forgiveness of sin, yes. Justification by faith. Thank you. That's what I'm looking for, since. When you may not see something always like Jesus will die, but when you see somebody that is justified without his works, when they speak about a time that will come that some people will be okay without keeping the law of Moses, that is about Christ. That is prophecy. Now, write this down now. And of course, you have the writing sense. In the Bible, we have prophets that we call doing prophets. We have doing prophets. We also have speaking prophets. We have the book that we call doing prophets. I will tell you the reason why. Please don't stop the message here. Keep listen to the rest. So we have doing prophets, and we also have speaking prophets. Okay, you can give me an example of doing prophets. Doing. Elijah. Elisha, Nathan. Let's do them. What are speaking prophets? Isaiah, yes. John the Baptist. Okay, we see. So who sent to be baptizing with water? Anyway, we have Isaiah, David, Habakkuk, Amon. No, I put David there. Now, by speaking, I mean speaking about the intention of God for mankind. Not speaking about things like the trouble that David will face in his house because of what the sin he committed. That's what I mean by speaking prophet. When I say speaking prophet, I'm not saying speaking about just anything. Nathan is just speaking about what doesn't concern him. Speaking prophet has spoke about the intention of God for mankind. Not just gist. You know, some prophets love gist. Gisting prophet. You know, some prophets, they love seeing gist. Matthew 11, verse 7. Trust me, I am not yet 50%. So let's leave that time. You don't have to go. Matthew 11, verse 7. Even tomorrow, I'm thinking we can just first do one 8 to 9 message before night to. Hallelujah. Matthew 11, verse 7. Come on, let's be fast. And as they departed, because my wife, she didn't bring water. It's intentional, so I can close. Your plan will not work. Matthew 11, verse 7. Are you there? Yes. As they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitude concerning John, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with wind? That's John the Baptist, okay? Not John the Beloved. Verse 8. But what went ye out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Yo, they that wear soft clothing, they are in the king's houses. Verse 9. But what went ye out to see? A prophet? Yeah, I say unto you, I'm more than a prophet. Say more than a prophet. Good. Verse 10. For this is he. Why is he more than a prophet? Because this prophet, God's scripture spoke about him. This is he, of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. Verse 11. Verily, I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Nonetheless, he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. 12. And from the days of John the Baptist, even until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth what? Violence, and the violent take it by force. Please remind me sometime later. Let's treat that verse. Some people think that is a verse for jingoism, for prayer point. No, he's talking about how they search for Jesus until they, how they search for the spirit of faith until they laid hold on it. Verse, like the woman, Sophronisha woman, you understand? How she discarded everything, fought, and got the faith, and got healed. That is the kingdom of God. The violent man, they take it by force. That is, you take it in your speaking. Possess it there. So leave that. 13. One to go. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you will receive it, this is the Elias which was to come. 15. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Why was he the greatest? John 1:29. Of course, because number one, he was clear. And he was the last of them. And he made it very clear. Okay, John 1:29, want to go? Yes. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and seeth, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So, first thing, he was able to identify him, and he identified his purpose, and he was clear. He will deal with sin, and he will take it away. His name is Jesus. He will deal with sin, he will take it away. Let me repeat that. He identifying, this is the Jesus. This is what he will deal with. This is how he will deal with it. And of course, if you read from John 3, the latter part, he said much more about him. So, go to John 10, verse 41. Be fast. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Isaac, stressful day? Yeah. Come to the front. I don't like when you come later and you're at the back. Come closer. John chapter 10. Verse 41.
Good.
Are you there? We are reading this one together. Want to go? And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true. Rajoshua, you're not talking now. Again, verse 10, Rajoshua 41, again. Want to go? And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true. 42. And many believed on him. Yeah. So now, please listen. The writer is not trying to de-emphasize miracle. But the job of the prophet will be to speak and to speak correctly. John, the writer here, was not trying to de-emphasize miracle. But the duty of the prophet will be to what? To speak and to speak correctly. I did a sit on Facebook maybe months or years ago now. I call it ranking of the prophets. Prophets are ranked according to what they said and how clearly they said what they said. Prophets are to speak and to make sense about Jesus. They should speak and what? Make sense about Jesus. So if you did every... Rejoice, are you okay? Come close to somebody here. Don't stay alone there. Where did you lose me? Yes? But the job of the prophet will be to speak and to speak correctly. Okay? I said Jesus was not de-emphasizing miracles. Oh, sorry, not Jesus, the writer was not de-emphasizing miracles. He said, but the job of the prophet will be to what? To speak and to speak correctly. To make sense. So if you did every other thing, raise Shunammite woman from the dead, Shunammite woman's son, right? From the dead, brought down fire, and made bitter water sweet. What other good thing did they do? But said nothing about redemption. You are less relevant. Ah, Jesus. You are less relevant. I wrote this down in my book. The miracles should make your utterance more respected. They are not to replace your speaking. That is why Elijah did everything. He could not mentor anybody. Let me take that again for the sake of those of us all. The miracles should make your utterance more respected. They are not to replace speaking. So we serve God by speaking, then doing, then speaking more. We serve God by what? Speaking, doing, then speaking more. If you read that, Acts 1 verse 2, of all things that Jesus began to both teach and to do. Right? He taught, he did. So, you preach, you do mighty works, you preach again. So, now, in the speaking... So, I've said to that. So, now, is there everything that is written in the Old Testament that are prophecies? No. Not everything are prophecies. Prophecy has clear demarcation. Good. So, in the speaking, imperfect men are all that are available to speak. Men without the comprehension, without the revelation of Christ. Don't forget, imperfect men are all that God has. They are all that God, everybody, nobody was perfect. The imperfect men were all that God asked to reveal his, to relate his message to men. So most of them couldn't have done any better. That is why we have the word polumeros and polutropos. Same God, same message, but sundry times, diverse manner. Parts of a whole. Now, if you write down the next thing, you can as well go home right now. If you can write it down accurately, but that will be what this long thing is about. Therefore, you will have to intelligently merge different portions
of the whole together to get a reasonable picture. Therefore, you have to intelligently merge different portions of a whole together to get a reasonable picture. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I shall pity first time that usually meet us. When I say this in interview on Sunday. What will I do now? So this Sunday we talk about restitution. Last week was just one sermon. Okay. Now, although some messages in the Bible may appear controversial, but really because there is an intelligent being behind the scene. There is a Holy Ghost that is moving the prophets. There is an intelligent being that doesn't want men confused behind the scripture. He will not allow the Old Testament to be closed until all the relevant portions are documented. Just try and quote that in your own words. Okay. I take it again. Although some messages in the Bible may appear controversial, but really because there is an intelligent being that doesn't want men confused behind the scripture. Just like I am trying to say I love Ojut. And after I have spoken for 1 hour, all I was able to say is I love. 1 hour speaking, the I love is there. Okay, I have not said Ojut. So if it will take me the next 10 hours for me to find Ojut, the mover, the one that is moving me, will not allow me to stop until all the fragments are in the propheticus. So, really, because there's an intelligent being that doesn't want men confused behind the scripture, he will not allow those Old Testament scriptures to be closed until all the relevant portions are documented. Bro, see, are you on night shift? Oh, you're tired. You need a bitter cola? Add one. Who needs bitter cola? Food, gift of the spirit. don't tell your Bible, please. Be share. Hallelujah. Don't worry, you get out of it tomorrow. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Stop, sorry. So 2 Timothy 3:16. Of course, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. By the what? Inspiration of God. Ah, profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. That the man God may be perfect. So the graphic is given, right? That's graphic, right? That one is graphic, right? You just no graphic, no grammar. Good. So this one is graphic. Now, so I said, say all scripture. Say all scripture. So God, now you can keep reading. God did not give you the book of Genesis plus Exodus, Numbers, that talked about the destruction of Israel without Psalms that told you why. God did not give you books like maybe Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, that talked about the sin and destruction
of Israel without the book of what? Psalm that now told you why. Do you remember Psalm 78? Is 78? That was saying, he gave them food, right? Gave them manna. But why the food was seen in their heart? The judgment fell on them. Why? Because they rejected. Now, it's easy for you to just say that they murmur. What is the murmuring? All we say is that they murmur. Sam now told us the actual issue. Do you get me? So what I'm saying is that God did not give you Exodus without Sam. The only thing that can make sense is the whole Bible. Are you with me, brethren? The only thing that can make sense is the whole Bible, not part of it. The only thing that can make sense, capable of making sense, is what? The whole Bible, not part of it. E.g., he didn't give you the story of Uzzah in 2 Samuel without that explanation of 1 Chronicles that we did yesterday. Are you listening, brother? No, there is something that me and Ife was discussing. Everybody, Romans 2. Now, let's just quickly go to New Testament. Of course, New Testament is different. It's different. It's not part of Propheticus and rest. But see this. See Romans 13. Me and Freddy will discuss this. Where is she? She's gone. Okay. Romans 2:13. Oh, she's on the ground. She's flowing the Holy Ghost. Romans 2:13. Are you there? Okay, Abel, let's read this. For not the heirs of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be. Then, if you read that, you close the Bible. What do you think will happen? Thank you, of the peddler. You just read that. What do you do? Close your Bible. Ah, can you see? Not the heirs of the law is justified before God. The doers of the law is justified. Brethren, we have to do the law. Pay your tithe. You see, and picking this verse, you can do anything. The doers of the law are justified before God. Ah, when I was discussing with, if I said, I understood this years ago when I was seeing Redeem. That romance, the writer is intelligent. Chai. Now, after he's told you in Romans 1:16 that what? For I'm not ashamed that is of the gospel of Christ. Power of salvation. For in the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed from what? Faith as is written. Now, sorry, what was after that? For the wrath of God. From the wrath of God, he started a long conversation. Now, chapter 1, he proved to you that the Gentiles, as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, right? He gave them up. He's mentioned everything. And they that do this thing, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. He now came to chapter 2, talking about the Jews. Say you to Jews too, that you are saying you have the law. Say you through the law, you are disobeying God. Say because not the hearer of the law is just, but the what? Doer. The next question is, who can do the law? So, it's a long conversation that stopped in verse 19 of chapter 3. It's a long essay, one paragraph. See, go there, watch there. Romans 3, 19. After the long thing. In fact, from verse, it's like as it's written, there is no righteous, no, not one. For they are of all gone unprofitable. The ways of God they have not known. See, now we know that what? What is soever the law said, is said to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and the whole world is guilty. Say lawyer. So Paul was proving to you how the entire humanity needs justification. See verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh. So is he telling you to go and do the law in Romans 2:13? No. So if you pick Romans 2:13 without the rest, you enter gallo. See it? For by the law is the knowledge of sin. 21. But now. The righteousness of God without the law. Hallelujah. So are you to keep the law? Without the law is manifested, being witnessed, that is testified about by the law and the prophets. 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all that believe, for there is no difference. There is no difference. 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But 24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. 25. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, or for sins committed under the law, through the forbearance of God. 26. For to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. 27. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of what? No, but by the law of faith. 28. Everybody want to go? Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the works of the law. So, the conversation has a conclusion. That is it. Therefore, once you start reading chapter 1, if you are not ready to read from chapter 1 to chapter 3, verse 27, don't read at all. You'll be confused. Praise God. Now, back to what we are doing. Same as the different portions of the Old Testament. So, God is intelligent to ensure that before that last statement, because if you saw the way Malachi was written, see Malachi 4 verse 5, like, before that statement was made, Malachi 4 verse 5, thank you, Lord Jesus. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the what? Coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the father to the children, and of the children to their father, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Who is that Elijah? John the Baptist, that we just finished reading. Not the eschatology that they have taught you. John the Baptist, that's what Jesus said, himself said. So, that would mean he closed the chapter by saying John is coming. And New Testament opened with who? John. Don't forget though, it was not written anywhere. It's a prophet speaking. Oh, hallelujah. Say intelligent God. So before he made this statement, because this is a closing of the Old Testament. I am done with you. Another, between Malachi and Matthew, how many years? Who knows? 400 years. Before that 400 years of silence, God, imagine, to tell you, prophecy is not just any speaking. There was no prophet for 400 years. It's a gift. It's not just you can shake yourself and it can come. No, it's a gift. No prophet of 400 years. That's why we now add evolution of what we call Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes. It's because there's no prophet. One Jeremiah would have judged all of them since. So the intelligent being behind the entire prophetic, right? Behind the prophetic, ensure that before this statement is written, one of the prophets has said everything that Paul will need, hallelujah, to bring out Jesus. Say everything. So, of course, but spoken in diverse manner by the prophets. So, the New Testament scholar will now intelligently merge relevant parts together. Find answers to questions. Find explanations to things not clear. Knowing fully well that God is saying one thing. Hallelujah. Now, I wrote this down. Hi, where is the time? Okay. Let's work with 9. Let me be fast. Knowing fully well that God is saying one thing. Now, write this down. Although the epistles are not part of 2 Timothy 3:16, but the epistles were also given to us by the wisdom of God. Use the word wisdom, please, not inspiration. Although the epistles are not part of the 2 Timothy 3:16, or the first Peter chapter 1, second Peter chapter 1, verse what? 20:19-21. But the epistles are also given to us by the wisdom of God. And that compilation too has been closed. You cannot add to it. Closed by who? One day we see that. Ephesians 3 verse 1. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. You know me, I'm expecting when I will tell Brother Michael to come and play the keyboard. Once you just hear Brother Michael, then we are close. But it's okay. Hope you are able to up into what you have been saying, right? Small, at least you tried. Good. As I said, happy if you have, maybe we'll talk about your phone, you attach. I have a couple that, what they call, sorry, you want to attach phone to your dashboard. As you are coming, you'll be streaming it, listening. It's your duty. And this way, anyway, I think for my workers, that would be one of my workers' train. A phone that has data. That's not the phone that gets out like my own, that we just get out and stop. You must have data. You must follow. Ephesians 1, you know. Ephesians 3, rather, from verse 1. Ephesians 3, verse 1. Slowly, let's see this. Rejoice, are you flowing? Good, okay. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus, for you Gentiles. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, yes, together, yes, which is given me to you, what? How that by revelation, he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you might understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known. Say not made known. Say not revealed to them. Unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So, please, quickly write down. None of us could join that league of holy apostles and prophets. The apostles and prophets he talked about in verse 5, none of us can join them. He's talking about those who gave us the epistles. Me and Prophet Shamba, we discussed this during one night like that. And thank God we're able to get to a good conclusion. I think I discussed that with Pastor Onyeka too, one of the times. So, I said, none of us could join the league of those holy apostles and prophets. He's talking about those who gave us the epistles. That is verse 5, which is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Now, verse 6. And that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Who do you think spoke more about the fact that Gentiles will be united? Old Testament. Isaiah. Good. See verse 7. Wherefore, I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, whom am less than least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Verse 9, and to make all see what, verse 9, everybody want to go? And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Verse 10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in the heavenly places might be made known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. 11, according to the eternal purpose which he proposed in who? Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. So if you will take the old Bible as one material, you will not be confused. If you will take the old Bible as one material, you will not be what? You will not be confused. Two case study, then we close. Of course, case study one, we have overdone that one in this church. Job's case. Job 1. I like Job, Abby. And thank God for our age. Job has been a mystery for generations.
Even New Testament preachers for a long time, they just avoid it. What is this? I said, what is this thing? God calling his enemy because of you. Ah. Job 1 verse 20, just the first, yes. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord are taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But James 1 verse 12, rush to the New Testament. Let us interpret this one by the epistles. Then we go. James 1 verse 12, blessed is the man that was endured temptation. You know, see what Job said. But you know, Sam told us that he has not dealt with us after the manner of our sin. So if you compare what David said in Sam with what Job said, you know that there's a problem somewhere. David said he has not dealt with us after the manner of our sin. And later in the same book of Job, what happened? We saw how they reproved him, right? We saw Job's issue, right, in the same book. So if you stop reading at chapter 1, will you get what God is saying? How will you get what God is saying? You must not only read what all his three friends are saying. You must also read what Elihu said. You must read what God now said through the with me. Of course, angelic stuff and dress. Go to James 1 verse 12. Blessed is the man that endured temptation. Now, it's not saying blessed is the man that God tempts. Okay, say, for when he has his tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say, when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. Reach verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is given from above and coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Verse 18. Want to go? Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of the first fruit of his creation. So from verse 17 and 18, what is the good thing that comes from above? What is the good thing that comes from above? 17 and 18. Huh? 17 and 18. What is the good thing that comes from above? Who is that? The new creation. Hallelujah. Praise God. James 1, James 5. James 5, 11. So the good thing that God gives from above is what? Makes us new. Things we have in Christ. Now, James 5 verse 11. Don't forget, born again is born from above. Huh? Born from above. James 5 verse 11. Want to go? Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of who? The Lord. That the Lord is very what? Wicked. Pitiful and of what? Tender. So as Job was saying all the rubbish, what was God doing? God was enduring him. Praise God. Say pitiful. So when you match the old scripture together, you will see that God is the one that rescued Job from the danger of his wrong confession, not the one that put him into the mess. Please, we have minimum of six series in this church that talked about Job. We have explaining Job's calamity 1 and 2, then stopping demonic activities, parts 3, 4, 5, 6. That's Job. Job. Job will be happy in heaven. He will be happy. He should be happy. Now, case 2. What of Moses' generational curses? This is the last one. Then we close. The Mosaic generational curses. Exodus 20, verse 5. This time, let's stay in the Old Testament. We not consult James. Exodus 20. Everybody, please try. I say, what of the Mosaic generational curses? Exodus 20, verse 5. So if you need those messages, please, or you're listening to us online, log into our website, edifyanceeverybody.org, download, explain Job calamities, stopping demonic activities. You will understand all about Job. Well, we read everything. Abi? We read almost every chapter. We read it. We see. There's no point. Why are we reading everything? Age is on our side. Amen. Exodus 20. Now, before we are 40, Father Ezekiel, we'll be mature enough to have branch 2 of Edifice.
Exodus 20 verse 5. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, thou shalt not bow thyself to them, nor serve them, for I am the Lord thy God. I am the Lord thy God.
Jealous God.
You should understand that one. Visiting the iniquity, of the father upon the children. God is not a jealous God. New Testament, jealousy is a fruit of the flesh, okay? But we need that from the fruit of the spirit. Now, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Verse 6 should have helped us in a way. Say, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Now, if you go to the New Testament, it's easy for you to say, God does not impute sin. But let's see how the prophets themselves clarified it. Let's first see Isaiah 14, 21. Let's see if Isaiah could help us here. You know, Isaiah helped us in a lot of places. Let's see if he tried for us here. He said, I will visit the iniquity of the father on the children. So you just be receiving some blah, blah. And I will show you why James chapter 4. Why is it very bad? Do you know? What is sin? Can sin stop you? What is the more effect of sin? Spiritual death, right? That would mean after you have confessed all your own sins, you are free. You didn't commit any. You now get to the gate of heaven. If your own ledger is clean, and the ledger of your father is not clean. If that of your, generation? Fourth. Your father's father, which obviously the Mary says has not come to Africa then. Because you don't just see it the way people just commonize that issue is that we are seeing that, okay, I'm struggling today. I didn't have a good man to marry because of the sin of my father. That is, they limit it to that. Sin, what is sin before God? Something that prevents a man from entering life, right? Something that bans a man for hell. So, we are not saved, bro. So, who is saved based on generational sense? See, only Jesus. Thank you. Isaiah 14, 21. Isaiah, could you help us? Let's reach with that one to go. Prepare slaughter for his children, for the iniquities of their fathers, that they do not rise, nor possess the land, nor fill the face of the world with cities. Say, yea. Yeah. Isaiah 65, verse 6. Ah. 65, verse 6. Behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silent, but will recompense into their bosom, verse 7, your iniquities and the iniquities of your father together. Ah, swear the Lord, which have burned the incense upon the mountains and blasphemed me upon the hills. Therefore, will I measure their former works into their bosom. Yes, soon. Please write this down. All we saw above was the abundance of the brutality of the law. You played Sega before. You don't even know brutality. Nintendo. All we saw above was the abundance of the brutality of the law. That was more than man deserved. That was beyond, that is not beyond Hebrews 2, verse 2. Hebrews 2, verse 2 said, if every transgression receive a just, like a corresponding, commensurate, thank you. This one, is it commensurate? Is it not commensurate? No. This is Ephesians 1, this is Ephesians 1:19. Exceeding, this is upa balu. Thank you. Imagine Koran, Data, and Abraham. What was their sin? Who died? their grand open, swallow them, their family, property, animal. See Joshua 7. Let me show you something. Let's see Achan. Joshua 7. Sorry, leave Joshua. Joshua 7:21. Be fast. It is super, it's an abundance of brutality. Joshua 7:21. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and wedge of gold and 50 shekels worth, then I collected them and took them all, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to his tent, and there it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent and brought them unto Joshua. 24. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, the silver and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. 25, want to go, Jesus. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble you this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned how many? Them with fire. After they stoned them with stones. It was terrible. Angels refused to fight their battles because they took a cloth. Because somebody took a cloth. Angels, they backed away. Because somebody took a cloth. One cloth, brethren. Blood. Because of cloth and gold, blood must go. It was a dispensation of bloodshed. That's what I wrote it there. I said it was a dispensation of bloodshed. Innocent children, sheep. What did the sheep do? Oxen, children. The same way you hear Samuel said to Saul, go and kill the Amalekites. Kill the suckling and the infant. And Saul, instead of him to spear the suckling and the infant, what did he spear? Cow. Jesus, you have to go home. It was a display of bloodshed. That is not our God. Amen. See Ezekiel 18. Pastor Ezekiel. I'm just calling people here. So the prophets now started correcting themselves. God was correcting the prophets. God wasn't speaking. God knew there was an error. Hey, Jesus. So until they correct this thing, we are not going to close this Old Testament. Ezekiel 18. No, you know, I just discovered, you don't even have to enter the New Testament to just boom generational curse. MFN. Ezekiel 18, verse 1. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, what mean ye that you say this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. That's funny. Somebody is eating. And that person is being defeated. Jesus. Verse 3. Want to go, everybody? As I live, say the Lord, you shall not have occasion anymore. Say anymore. To use this proverb in Israel. But let's keep reading. See verse 4. Behold, all souls are mine. So can you see a clear correction of a previous utterance? Good. All souls are mine. As the soul of the father, so also is the soul of the son, is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Rush to verse 19. Yet, you say ye, why doth not the son bear the iniquities of the father? When the son hath done that which is lawful and right, and hath kept all my statutes, and hath done them, he shall surely what? Live. Read verse 20. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquities of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. This is enough for MFM. Next verse, go to verse 21. But if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he has committed, and keep my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely what? Live, he shall not die. 22. All his transgression that he has committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him in his righteousness that he hath done. He shall live. 23. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live? 24. And when the righteous turn away from his righteousness now, and committed what? Iniquity. And dwelt according to all the abomination that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? All his righteousness that he had done shall not be mentioned in his trespass, that he had trespassed in his sin, that he had sinned. In them shall he die. Say yeah. You know, this is where we saw the doctrine that it is what you are doing when Jesus comes. That if you commit one, somebody has been righteous all these days, as he's about to die, one sin, just a little sin, what will happen? Hellfire. 26. When a righteous man turneth from his righteousness and committed iniquity and dies in them, for his iniquity that he had done shall he die. 27. Again, when the wicked man turneth from his wickedness that he had committed and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive. Now, you can think this is good. It's not good though. Keep reading. 28. Because he considered and turned away from all his transgression that he had committed, he shall surely live. He shall not die. 31. Cast away from you all your transgression, whereby you have transgressed, and make you a what? A new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die? Old house of Israel. 32. Want to go? Yes. I have no pleasure in the death of him that died, said the Lord. Wherefore, turn yourself. Hallelujah. So, has this solved the problem? Not really. At least we are better than where we are coming from. You know, it's good if at least you know the reason why you are suffering. Not because of one Baba that you never saw his picture. Hallelujah. Flow with me, don't stop. Because meaning, now this is meaning now. He's trying to revert back to the original law. He's saying now that when you do right, you get right. When you do wrong, you die for it. But that is still the law. Now write it down, write Hebrews 2 verse 2 again in your book. That is still the law. Why? Because no one will ever always do right. Hebrews 2:2. When you do right, you get right. When you do wrong, you die for it. That is still the law, brethren. Because no one will ever always do right. Hebrews 2:2 said, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Now, let me give you a type of book analysis. I want to compare Prophet Ezekiel with Prophet Jeremiah. Prophet Ezekiel was a younger contemporary of Jeremiah. Ezekiel is younger than Jeremiah. But why Jeremiah ministered to the people that were still in Judah? Ezekiel prophesied to those already exiled in Babylon. After the defeat of, that is Jehoiakim, right? Yes, Jehoiakim. Jehoiakim. So why Jeremiah ministered to those that were still in Judah? Ezekiel prophesied to those already exiled in Babylon. But Ezekiel was actually younger. See what the prophet now said about the same issue. So Jeremiah is like the older prophet. Ezekiel was younger. Ezekiel is just given to so much angels and so much things. So now, think about it. Ezekiel was trying to say something in verse 31. When he was talking about a new heart. But not clear. Jeremiah 31. Oh, glory to God. The prophet, they were still speaking. They have not said something. God will not allow the scripture to be closed. See 31, hallelujah. This is sweet, man. You should run up and down while reading this one. Don't say the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, as they, Jeremiah 31, 23, everybody open. We should read this together. As yet they that use this speech as yet they shall, thus said the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, as yet they shall use this fish in the land of Judah and in the land thereof, when I shall bring again their captivity. The Lord bless thee, whole habitation of justice, mountains of holiness. 24, and there shall dwell in Judah itself, and in all the city therefore together, husbandmen, that they go forth with it flocks. 25, for I have satiated the weary soul, and I have replenished every sorrowful soul. Upon this I awaked and beheld, my sleep was sweet unto me. 27, behold, these days come, saith the Lord, that I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man and with the seed of beast. 28, and it shall come to pass that like as I have watched over them to pluck up, to break down, to throw down, and to destroy, and to afflict, so will I watch over them to build, to plant, saith the Lord. 29, one to go. In those days they shall no more, they shall say no more, the father have eaten a sour grape, and the children's teeth are set on edge. Now, see 30 now. But everyone shall die for his own iniquity. He says something. Now, has he said anything different from what his guest said? No. Every man that eats sour grapes, his teeth shall be set on edge. 31. One to go. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant, not according to Exodus 20 that I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband to them, said the Lord. 33, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, said the Lord. I will put my laws in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. 24, last verse, yes. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, say, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least unto the greatest, said the Lord. Why? For I will forgive their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. Woo! Error of a prophet. Somewhere in future, between Moses and Jeremiah, the spirit was moving until they say it. Hallelujah. So no one dies for his sins anymore. It's done. It's a close case. That is the new covenant, brethren. That is God's solution. So by picking the Old Testament book as a complete material, we saw how the Old Testament scriptures explained itself. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Brahmaika, you can come up now. Generational curses has expired long ago. It was a repercussion of the ministry of death. You know, meaning after you have done all the 600 law of Moses, they will now say, have you kept everything? Yes. So what of the sin of your father? That's just to tell you that by the deeds of the law, no man. So now see this, Sagira. Can you see how the law was so crazy about condemned people? Can you see it? So brutal. The same way now the New Testament is so what? Crazy about forgiveness. So if we are saying blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin, it's because some people have suffered the suffering. Some people have been peppered for you to enjoy today. Like the blala, the law. They have imagined that a can story. It's sad. That is not just. I usually tell people, I say the punishment in hell is more than any man deserves. What do you think you did on that? You will be in hell for eternity. You will pay for your sin. You will pay for the sin of all your fathers. There will still be so much left, and you keep paying. That is why we say grace is not fair. Why? The law was not fair. Was it fair? So Hebrews 8, let's close now. Hebrews 8, now say, for if that first covenant has been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. Bring down some. For finding fault with them, the covenant was finding fault with people. He now said, the day has come, said the Lord, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to Exodus 20. Not according to the generational covenants of Moses. For this is verse 10. For this is the covenant I will make with them. I will put my laws into their mind. Verse 11. They will not have to teach you. Because verse 12. I will be merciful to your righteousness. To their righteousness and their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. So, Achan stole. Moses said, stone him. The guy that was stealing in Ephesian church, Paul said what? Steal no more. No more stone. Glory to God. Say, I value the new covenant. Say, it's done for me. Say, I'm not under camera. Say, I get the best in life. Not necessarily what I deserved. Thank you. You know, think on that. You can write that down. I get the best in life. Not necessarily what I deserve. Not necessarily what I deserve. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. I get the best in life. Not necessarily what I deserve. Woo! Meditate on this. He is strong. Not necessarily what I deserved, but I get the best in life. Oh, hallelujah. I may not have done enough, but I will get the best in life. See, in the New Testament, we have faith in the blood. If we are to get what we deserve, if we still reap what we sow as touching sin, then Jesus lied to us. I love the way Pastor Onyekas talked about this part. He said, think about Peter. After he denied Jesus 3 times, what do you think happened? When Jesus saw him, did Jesus mention it? He didn't even mention it at all. On the day of Pentecost, Peter did not come and say, well, brethren, see my life. I see me. After Jesus loved you so much, 3 years ministry, I just deny him like that. I'm so condemned. Well, but brethren, can you all stand up and stretch forth your hand to me and pray? There won't be a castaway. No. That same man that denied Jesus was the first one that stood on a chair and shouted. And the first 3,000 souls, they were saved. Men and brethren, listen to me. Ah, yeah, yeah, yeah. Why? Because he is not going to reap what he sowed. See, we have faith in the blood, brethren. It won't happen to you. That bad you think is coming, it won't happen to you. You don't deserve any bad. You don't. We don't work by commercialist results. We have a source. It's from God. Praying thanks, everybody. Good things alone happens to us. What we have done before is all be. It's all be. Good things alone. Good things alone. So, a man that will pick the whole Bible as one material will not see a contradiction in the Bible. A man that will pick the entire Bible as one material will appreciate that intelligence being behind everything. The spirit. He ensured that the prophet did not rest until they clarified Moses' generational curses. No man dies for his sins again. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hey, oh, my debt is paid. It is paid in full by the precious blood that my Jesus paid. Oh, the cost of sin has no hold on me. Whom the Son set free, oh, is free indeed. Oh, the death of Christ, my salvation. For your blood poured out over me. Now my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise and honor. One more time with all your heart, let's sing that song again. Oh, my debt is paid, yes. Oh, my debt is paid, it is paid in full by the precious blood that my Jesus paid. All the cost of sin has no hold on me. Whom the Son set free, oh, is free. Yeah, all the debt of Christ, my salvation. For your blood poured out over me. Yeah, now my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise and honor.
Thank you, Father, for this consciousness. Thank you, Father. Just small tongues, just tongues, 30 seconds, just tongues. Sapalande Roseto Latete Lotete. We have faith in the blood. 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 We don't get what is deserved. Rather, we have faith in the blood. 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 Sate kaltela zate. Yeah. Now my soul cries out, hallelujah. Praise to thee.
Okay. Stop that trip.